Will you turn in your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 12. And while you're turning to Mark 2 in your Bibles, let me give you an announcement that Dr. Lawley wanted us to make. Dr. Lawley, the president of this great seminary, in cooperation with the Famine Relief Committee, hereby proclaims April 26th, a day of fasting and prayer, pledging our time and money set aside on this day to the alleviation of the sinful blights of starvation and malnutrition. And inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, you have done it unto me. The proclamation by Dr. Lawley, now the reading of God's Word. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk. And go thy way into thine house. And immediately he rose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion.
Would you join with me in prayer, please? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we count a privilege again to have the opportunity to come back into this place of worship. That truly this morning, Father, we might worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Father, we come thanking You for a beautiful day that You've given unto us. Come thanking You, Father, for life itself, for nature, and for the beautiful handiworks of Thy art that we see round about us. Father, we come this morning praying for the entire seminary family. Praying, Father, of those who are sick and facing afflictions and trials and tribulations and different types of troubles. But Father, this morning You might lay Your hand of mercy upon them. Father, maybe for someone who is bereaved because of the loss of a loved one. Help each of us, Father, to realize that Word tells us that Thy grace is sufficient for all things. Now, Father, as we come in the very quietness of this hour, to worship Thee, we pray, Father, that our hearts and our minds might be clear, that anything that might be distracting to our worship to Thee in this very instant might be removed, that we might listen to the quiet, still voice of the Holy Spirit as He speaks to us this morning. We pray, Father, for the one who will come and break the bread of life. We pray this morning, Father, that You might just fill him with Thy Holy Spirit. Father, You might hide him behind the cross of Jesus, that we not see him, but we see Christ speaking through him. Just give him strength and courage and undergird him. that he might bring forth words, Father, that will help to strengthen each of us. For these things we ask in the name for thy sake. Amen.
There is truly a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. You know, we've been called to the highest office that anyone can hold, with the greatest responsibility. We've been called to bring people to Jesus Christ for salvation. We've been called to strengthen the faithful, to help them to be steadfast in their duties to the Lord. But what we do with those responsibilities depends completely upon us. There are some who respond with complacency and unconcern, like the priest and the Levite, as they saw the man by the side of the road who had been beaten and robbed. Like so many people today, they didn't want to get involved, so they passed by on the other side. There are also people who are caught up in the emotion of the day. For a while, they want to serve Christ, and they're willing to follow him. But then after a while, they become weary and want to get out of their commitment. A certain scribe heard Jesus preach one day, and he became filled up with emotion. And he said, "Master, I'll follow you wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do." But Jesus, as he looked into the man's heart, said, "Before you make a commitment like that, you better stop and count the cost. You better be sure. Because the way is not always going to be easy. The foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." So many people are willing to follow Jesus as long as they're on the mountaintop. As long as they can experience the security and the safety of the church, they're willing to go with him all the way. But when hardships or difficulties arise, they find themselves weary and seek to get out of their commitment. There are others, however, who have given themselves completely, without reservations, in service to God. They see a need and they have committed themselves to carrying out the will of God until the end. I believe it was Dwight L. Moody who said, "This world has yet to see what can be accomplished through one person who is totally committed to Jesus Christ." This is the kind of commitment we are called to today. "And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." Jesus loved Capernaum. And on many occasions, he came back to Capernaum after he had been on preaching missions. And on this particular occasion, he entered into a house. And it possibly could have been Peter's house. And it wasn't long after he got there until word spread throughout all the town that Jesus was back. And everywhere Jesus was, great crowds gathered. He had a magnet that drew people to him, as he does today. Pretty soon the house became crowded with people. Every room was filled. The doors were blocked so that no one else could enter. I believe even the yard was full of people. And it was while Jesus was preaching to this crowd of people that four men came, carrying one of their friends on his bed, bringing someone to Jesus. When they got there and they saw the great crowd of people, they saw that every entranceway into the house was blocked. They could have thrown up their hands and said, "Well, what's the use? We've tried, but we can't do it. We can't go through the great mob. We can't bring our friend to Jesus." But they didn't do that. They went around on the side of the house where the stairs that led to the roof, and they carried their man gently up the stairs. And I believe they could hear Jesus preaching through the ceiling as they walked across the roof, and pretty soon they had pinpointed about where Jesus was. Gently, they lifted up a section of the roof and lowered their friend down in front of Jesus. Jesus saw their faith, but he saw a more pressing need than the immediate need of the man. He looked into the heart of the man, and he saw a life that had been crippled with sin. So he said unto the man sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And there were scribes in the house that day who were not believers or followers of Christ, probably there out of curiosity. I believe even those who don't believe in Jesus know there's something different and magnificent about this man. They were there and they started questioning within their hearts, "Who does this man say he think he is? Only God can forgive sin." Jesus knew their thoughts. And he said, "Which is easier for me to say, 'Son, thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Take up thy bed and walk'?" And immediately he turned to the man who was paralyzed and he said, "Arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thine own house." And immediately strength flowed through this man and he arose a new person, not only physically, but he was spiritually whole. He arose and went his way, rejoicing. And everyone there was amazed at what had taken place, and they rejoiced and glorified God. It's not recorded what happened to these four men who brought their friend to Jesus. We don't even know their names. But we do know that they had a great love in their heart for a friend. And they overcame obstacles in order to bring him to Jesus. We are called to the same mission today. A single word, a single act of love might be just what is needed to bring someone to Jesus. A lot of people may be just that close to salvation. There are millions standing just outside of the door waiting for you or me or someone like us to bring them to Jesus. Many years ago in the North Country, a group of people settled down to make their home. And in this particular part of the country, it was very, very cold. The winters, sometimes the temperature would fall to 40 or 50 degrees below zero. But they were committed to this country. They loved it. And they wanted to make their home there. They built a fort. The Christmas season was nearing, and the supplies in the fort was getting low, and someone had to go to Hazleton for more supplies. Victor Clark, along with an Indian guide, volunteered. On Christmas Eve, they were returning to the fort when the snow began to fall. The temperature began to drop. A freezing wind was cutting into their faces. The snow was sticking to their snowshoes and they were struggling just to walk. They wanted to get to the fort before nightfall. Victor Clark looked at the Indian guide and he said, "How far do you think it is to the fort?" And the guide said, "I'm not sure, but it must be 5 or 10 miles." They struggled on, but darkness came. And pretty soon they were no longer able to follow the trail. And they came upon a grove of trees, and Victor Clark said, "We better camp here for the night, where we will have a little protection from the wind and the snow." They were able to build a little fire, and they sat huddled around this fire all night long, afraid to go to sleep because the snow would cover them and they would freeze to death. The night passed slowly, but finally the gray dawn appeared, and Victor Clark stood up, and in amazement he pointed in the direction of the fort and he said, "Look." They had camped that cold, freezing night just a few hundred yards from the fort, just outside of the door of safety. Do you know that there are millions of people who are just outside of the door of salvation today? And it's our responsibility as ministers and of men and women of God to proclaim this great message and bring them to Jesus. We must be steadfast. We must be dedicated. We must go about God's work with a zeal and an enthusiasm that will stir the world. In 1 Corinthians 15, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Isn't this a wonderful promise? Your work is not in vain in the Lord. Sometimes we will become discouraged, but when we see that person for whom we've been praying accept Christ as their personal Savior, that makes it all worthwhile. Sometimes we'll feel rejected, but when we see that Christian who has been out of fellowship with the Lord receive again the joy of God's salvation, that makes it all worthwhile. Sometimes we'll feel lonely, but when that dear saintly shut-in says to us, "Preacher, you don't know what it means to me to have you come by," that makes it all worthwhile. Sometimes we'll feel like that we're not needed, but when that person who has just lost a loved one says, "Preacher, you're just like a ray of sunshine," that makes it all worthwhile. Sometimes we'll feel like that no one really cares, but when that little girl tugs on your pants leg and you bend over and she puts her arms around your neck and she says, "Preacher, I love you," brother, that makes it worthwhile. Yes, we've got a great responsibility. What we do with that responsibility depends upon each of us. God has placed it upon our shoulders. We have the greatest call in the world. We hold the greatest position with the greatest responsibility. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Never let your light grow dim, but let your light grow brighter and put it on the highest hill and bring someone to Jesus." May we pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for loving us when we were unlovable. We thank you for calling us into thy service. Help us that we might be faithful. Keep us steadfast. And Father, as you open the doors for us, give us courage to enter in. For it's in Christ's name we pray.